Hey, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. This is your guy, Larry, and you just tuned into another episode of Larry's Biblecast. How you guys doing today? Hopefully, you guys are having a wonderful and awesome day, and hopefully, God is truly blessing you today. So, I'm so glad that you tuned in, and again, I want to just again, thank you for everything that you, coming in and being a part of this listening audience. I really appreciate it. So this is about midweek according to, my recording here. And so I will be, continuing on in this episode in day 13 of favor. Hopefully you guys are ready to hear what God has to say through this awesome episode. We have been going through, I feel like we've been going through this devotion for quite a while here, but that's because of so many different things. We've had holidays, we've had, I've had days off to where I've been working and doing extra work. Also, I've got a chance to enjoy my family on a nice, beautiful vacation. So I have had taken some time off myself. So hopefully you guys are still hanging in there with me. I appreciate it though. I appreciate everything, all the support that I've been getting. And again, I just want to just extend that. And we're going to be eventually, you know, diving into some other things, other topics as far as Bible topics. And I just want you to also make sure that you keep people in prayer, you know, whether it's matter of fact, we had a couple of mass shootings. I believe I mentioned that on the last episode I recorded as well. So just continue to keep people in prayer. We are in some really conflicting times and some different times that we're living in, and we need many of you to just continue to pray, and I mean for real pray, because man, I mean, when I tell you there is so much going on in our world today, whether it's the economy that I've been hearing about, some of you I'm sure have been hearing about. We've got still the pandemic. We've got this new variants, as well as I believe it's like monkeypox or something like that. That's another new thing now. Oh my goodness. It's just, sometimes you wonder like, okay, should I turn on the news or whatnot? But you know what? I'm going to tell you, at some point we have to be mature enough to handle whether it's bad news and the condition of our world, because as Christians, we have to, be strong enough to know that God is our source and God is our protector. And we, as Christians, we have a responsibility. We need to be proactive in the world that we live in. Whether it's, you know, not just reading your Bible and praying on your own, but praying for other people, praying for the neighbors, praying for the community, praying for your job, you know. And so it's not just about you and yours. So understand that our world is affected. And guess what? If all of us pray, and I mean, you know, all of us from around the world, if we're all praying, you know, God is hearing our prayers. God has to hear our prayers. And so I believe in prayer. I believe the power of prayer. And I really feel like our world needs it. Our world needs it today, not just our country, but our world, because there are so many things that's going on. So listen, without further ado, we're going to get right into this new episode, this next episode of Favor, day 13 of Favor. And this is going to be a really good episode as well. I hope that you guys are ready for that and tune in with your Bibles. It's going to be, I believe, out of the book of Matthew. And that's the main part of it, out of Matthew chapter 17. But we also will be kind of diving into some other parts of the Bible as well that has to do with conflict and how we can be proponents or a people of peace, right? You know, Jesus set that example for us. So we too must be, as representatives of the kingdom of God, we must also promote peace and not conflict. We should not be pushing for conflict in any way, okay? All right. Well, sit back and relax and enjoy this awesome next episode of Larry's Biblecast. Hey, so let's get right into our scripture portion, and we are going into day 13 of favor. And so hopefully you guys have been enjoying the devotion so far. Kind of hit and miss. I know that we've had some time lapse, so again, I want to extend some apologies for those of you that have been waiting for the next few episodes of these of the devotion. So I like some of you, I probably, like some of you, I've been pretty busy. So let's get right into, day 13, and we're going to start off with the scripture portion. We're going to start off reading out of, Romans chapter 12, verse 18. And it says here, it says a very simple verse. It says, do all you can to live in peace with everyone. And the next one is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. And one of the last ones before we go on our break is found in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 25. Simply says, greed causes fighting, trusting in the Lord leads to prosperity. Let's read that one more time. Greed causes fighting, but trusting in the Lord leads to prosperity. So as you could tell in this episode of this devotion of favor, it has a lot to do with living in peace with people. And some of you, or all of you, are aware that we live in a world that we have to live with one another. And in our world, we have different diversities and backgrounds, and people have different lifestyles, different demographics, genders, even just different language barriers and cultures and things like that. We have they say America is a melting pot, which it is, because there's so many different people of different backgrounds. But the world is, and if you are aware, like I am, because we live in the internet age and the age of social media, as well as the internet, everything seems to be a little bit more easier, a little bit more easier and quicker. And just, you can reach out to someone even faster now. So there was a time where you picked up your telephone at home and had a relative that maybe lived in another city, in the same state, and was considered long distance. You know, I'm talking about your home phone. For some of you that are a lot younger than me, there was a time when we had home phones that were stationary at home. You never took them out of your home. Nowadays, you have smartphones now, right? The smartphone has everything. I always said that the primary purpose from a smartphone used to be you making a phone call, but now that's not even the primary purpose of it. So I want to talk a little bit about the subject matter of this devotional, and it has a lot to do with living in peace and in a world that doesn't have peace.
And our world today, as I've said before, sometimes we look and watch the news and we see things on the news that has been really disturbing. And I will definitely say that the last month or so, beginning of this month and the ending of the last month, has been very, very disturbing on the news and the events that we've had, particularly when we are talking about violence. We've had several situations involving guns and violence as far as mass shootings are concerned. Uvalde, Texas, of some of you have known already, where a lot of children there were senselessly murdered, their lives taken just quickly, and they were just young little kids. I believe it was in elementary school. Just sad, very sad situation we had. And then we had before that one, we had in Buffalo, I believe Buffalo, New York, where a gunman came into a grocery store and shot, I believe, just under 10 people, I think, there. And we're living in a time where this is almost becoming a regular thing. It's sad to say, but it's becoming a regular thing. It's you know, you're not sure as a family, you know, you take your family out, maybe go to a grocery store, a shopping mall or theater, or just trying to have a good time at maybe a function that might be outside or something, at a picnic or a park or something. And you don't know whether that would be the last time you would be there. You don't know whether or not someone that has that mindset or what have you will go out and try to kill people. And I think this is we're living in a very, very challenging time and where there is not so much peace, but there's a lot of conflict. So I wanna talk a little bit about this and see what we as believers in a world that we live in is becoming more challenging, even for believers. And what does the church, what is the church's role? And when I mean the church, I do mean me and you. You know, the group of us. Where, you know, the Bible says where there are two or more gathered together that he is in the midst. So I just want to kind of get into this a little bit. And why don't we take a quick break? And we're going to get when we come back, we're going to read through the book of Matthew, chapter 17. When we come back, and we'll talk a little bit about that before we end with the devotion of the day. All right, so hold on, hold tight, and we'll be right back from our sponsor. All right. All right, so welcome back. So we're going to get right into Matthew chapter 17. And again, this is day 13 of favor. And we're going to read the scripture here, the whole chapter of Matthew 17. Those of you that have your Bibles, why don't you follow along here? It says, verse 1, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. Suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, "Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. If you want, I'll make three shelters as memorials. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But even as he spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved son, who brings me great joy. Listen to him." The disciples were terrified and fell face down on the ground. Then Jesus came over and touched them and said, "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." And when they looked up, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus. As they went back down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Then his disciples asked him, Why do the teachers of religious law insist that Elijah must return before the Messiah comes?" Jesus replied, "Elijah is indeed coming first to get everything ready. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, but he wasn't recognized. And they chose to abuse him. And in the same way, they will also make the Son of Man suffer." Then the disciples realized he was talking about John the Baptist. At the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him." Jesus said, "You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him. From that moment, the boy was well. Afterwards, the disciples asked Jesus privately, "Why couldn't we cast out that demon?" "You don't have enough faith," Jesus told them. "I tell you the truth, if you had enough faith, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." After they gathered again in Galilee, Jesus told them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but on the third day he will be raised from the dead." And disciples were filled with grief. On their arrival to Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and asked them, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," Peter replied. Then he went into the house. But before he had a chance to speak, Jesus asked him, "What do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people or the people they have conquered?" "They tax the people they have conquered," Peter replied. "Well then," Jesus said, "the citizens are free. However, we don't want to offend them. So go down to the lake and throw in a line. Open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you will find a large silver coin. Take it and pay the tax for both of us." So, toward the end of this chapter, in verse 27, we find the point of this at the end. And Jesus, he went through a lot of different miracles and did a lot of miracles. We see in the opening of it, of this chapter, of the Mount of Transfiguration is what they called it, where Peter and the two brothers, James and John, were up at a high mountain. We see one of the most brilliant miracles that we are witnessing in this chapter, where Jesus was on the mountain and he transfigured in front of them. Transfigured mean that his countenance, as well as his clothes and everything else, became bright. So bright, it was like a more of a heavenly bright. And that's how the Bible describes it. And along with that, there was the appearance of Elijah of the Old Testament and Moses of the Old Testament. Some people that have studied this and talked about this or taught this notice that Moses represents the law represent the law, because he was the one that had received the Ten Commandments from the Lord, or from God at that time. And Elijah was the prophet, was one of the prophets of old. So you had both in representation right there. You had the law and the prophets, and Jesus was right in the middle. So Jesus, you know, as we can tell, Jesus becomes the fulfillment of both the law and the prophecies. All the prophecies in the Old Testament point toward the coming of Christ, and also the figure of Christ, who Christ is, you know, being the Lamb of God, the one who would come and take away the sins of the world. And it's interesting, because this is something that I didn't remember reading before, but as they were talking about this situation, as they were coming down from this mountain, they talked about Elijah. It's funny how they talked about this, because in Revelations, it talks about two witnesses that will come, and one being Elijah, and then one that describes as Moses. And again, we see this here in Matthew chapter 17, and then we'll also read it again, I believe, in Revelations. It doesn't actually call them Elijah and Moses in Revelations, but there are two witnesses that one calls down fire from heaven, which is kind of descriptive of what Elijah did as a prophet in the Old Testament, as you go back and read. So there's some comparison verses that will go from the book, gosh, I want to say it's either 1 or 2 Kings, where Elijah was there and called down fire from heaven at that time. And that's what will happen again in Revelation. So I'm kind of, you know, kind of bear with me here, because I'm, you know, kind of, it seems like I might be jumping all over the place here, but I want to just kind of explain this in context of what we're reading. So, let's hold on just a second here. Pause for a second here. So we're going to see again where, as they were coming down from this mountain, as they were coming down from the mountain here, they were questioning. And by the time they get to the foot of the mountain, then they were met with a crowd of people who was, excuse me, who was coming down, and they were trying to, I guess they were disciples that were already there, was trying to heal or cast out a demon that was in a man's son who was suffering with seizures. You know, and some of you might know what a seizure is. It's a situation or a medical thing that happens to an individual where they're shaking and convulsing uncontrollably. And some of you may know somebody, maybe have relatives or people that you know that has seizures sometimes. And you have to, sometimes when a person goes into these seizures, they're either convulsing, you have to lay them on the side, make sure that they're not, you know, swallowing their tongue, or they have something to bite on, put something in their mouth in order to keep them from hurting themselves. So at this time, we notice in here that there was a young boy, that suffered with seizures and suffered terribly. Talks about how he often falls into the fire and also into the water. And at this point, we can tell that this individual hurts himself and puts himself into danger. So they could not cast this demon out. And Jesus explained to them it's because they did not have enough faith. And I remember reading this same story. And he also mentions that some of these things are done by fasting and praying. So yes, he, in verse 17 of Matthew 17, it appears as though Jesus was very kind of disturbed and disgusted, well, kind of disappointed in the disciples, the ones that were there in that crowd that was trying to cast out this demon. So of course, you know, Jesus, they brought the boy over to Jesus. He asked him to come and bring the boy to him, and he ultimately cast him out. So this would be a lesson that I want to get into for later. But in light of this devotion about peace, we want to go down to all the way down to verse. Like I said, we want to go down to verse 26. Let's go further back to verse 24. And so on verse 24, they arrive in Capernaum. The collector of the temple tax came to Peter and asked him, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" And Peter replies to him, "Yes, he does." Then he went into the house. And before he had a chance to speak, Jesus, see, that's the wonderful thing about Jesus, is that he knows what is happening or what will happen before it happens. And Peter comes in the house and he knows exactly what to say. And he addresses it before Peter has a chance to come to him with a question. He says, "What do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people or the people they have conquered?" And so he says, "They tax the people they have conquered," Peter says. "Well then," Jesus said, "the citizens are free." The reason why he mentioned this, because this was not a king's tax. This was a temple tax, okay? And this had nothing to do with a king that was conquering the people. You notice here, this was a temple tax. Now, I personally don't know and not familiar with what a temple tax is. I can always say maybe it's an offering for the temple. And I'm sure that the taxes, even at that time, were used to do things for, whether it be the temple or for the township or whatever the tax will be. If you live like today, we have different taxes. Our government has taxes for different services that we use. So in this case here, Jesus says, "Well, the citizens are free," meaning that they are not conquered by a king. He says, however, this is the key point here. "However, we don't want to offend them. So go down to the lake and throw in a line, open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you will find a large silver coin. Take it and pay the tax for both of us." So I thought this was really interesting. This was very interesting and very, very interesting in this way, because when you think about it, Jesus himself is always in a teaching mode. So he wants us to understand, and Peter as well, that just because they are the disciples and he's Jesus as he was, he doesn't want to cause conflict. He doesn't want to cause conflict. Jesus didn't want to cause conflict, even though I remember there was a verse where he says that he did not come to bring peace, but a sword. There's a time and a place for all of those things. But in this case here, he doesn't want to appear as though he is breaking the natural law. And so the ones that came to him, I thought, which is interesting too, is that the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter. Who knows whether they were brought to him by the Pharisees and Sadducees. Maybe they would put them up to it and have them come and ask them. They wanted to find out, in my opinion, they wanted to find out if Jesus was going to break a law. They were constantly trying to trip him up and trying to find a reason to get rid of him, trying to find something, some fault with him. So I notice in this verse of scripture in verse 24, it says on their arrival into Capernaum, which is a whole nother city, then the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and asked him. So I really thought this was interesting. We're going to continue. We're going to take a quick little break And we're going to get right back into this interesting topic here about creating peace and not conflict. All right. So let's take another quick break and we'll be right back. All right. So welcome back. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to come to the conclusion of this episode, day 13 of Favor. How many of you guys have been enjoying this series of Favor? It's so many different things that we're learning. We're learning about just keeping in favor of the Lord, basically. And it has a lot to do with our conduct. It has a lot to do with our relationship, being aligned with the Lord in our lives, whether it be how we speak to one another, how we go out of our way to help each other, you know, community wise. And even in this case here, having more peace instead of conflict. How many of you are practicing that in your lives? In other words, you know, instead of causing conflict, you're trying to be a catalyst for peace. You know, a lot of times it's so easy for us to get involved with conflict because it's our feelings. Sometimes our feelings get hurt, or sometimes we're in our feelings. I've heard a video recently where there was a pastor that was preaching about being in your feelings and the reason why you don't do certain things because you don't feel like it. So I thought that was a pretty good sermon. But in this case here on our devotional, we can see here where Jesus, you know, he had an opportunity to continue to keep peace. And it was a teachable moment, to be honest with you, because when we read out of Matthew 17 and 27, he started off by saying, "But so that we may not offend them." Okay. And so it's a difference. It's a difference. Sometimes, you know, you have to really depend on your situation. Sometimes, whether it be at your job or at home or what have you, there's always an opportunity to be able to instead of causing conflict, to create a area or a environment of peace. And sometimes it's not always easy, right? All depends on the situation sometimes. But when there is an opportunity to have peace instead of conflict, it's always better to pursue that than it is conflict. Okay. Conflict doesn't resolve anything. Sometimes, you know, you end up losing more in conflict than you do in anything else, you know, just because either you want your way or either you're trying to, you know, say your piece or so to speak, right? Or sometimes just because you have to get your point across, basically. And because you're trying to get your point across, you cause a conflict. You know, what is the end result of it? Is there any resolve in it? Is it exactly what you wanted? Is the result of you getting your point across? Sometimes is it in a way to where, you know, it's resolving the whole situation, and hopefully, you know, you and the other person or people involved is, you know, at a place where there's ultimate resolution. That's ultimately the goal in any situation. Okay. And there's plenty, like I said before, there's plenty of opportunity, but there's also plenty of examples and people we see, whether it be on the news, whether it be on our world today, I should say, and they're causing conflict. You know, you may know people, whether it be at in your family or your home or your job or what have you, that are causing conflict. You know, like I said, some people seem to enjoy conflict. They don't feel like, you know, they don't feel like it's normal or it's too boring, and so they got to stir up some controversy. Do you know people like that? I mean, I know people like that myself, and sometimes it's just, I kind of sit back and just like, you know, it's crazy because you seem like, you know,
instead of you wanting that peace, it's too boring, it's too quiet, so you feel like it's better to stir up some conflict. Those type of people you don't want to be around, you know? Those type of people, you of course you want to pray for them, but you want to pray because the spirit of dissension is involved with that. A lot of times, you know, you got people that are that's what they want to do. They want to cause dissension. They want to cause controversy. It could be a good event. It could be a you know, sometime it might be a family gathering or something. And out of that family gathering, there's got to be some kind of argument. There's got to be some kind of sense of disarray in the midst of it. And then all of a sudden that changes the whole dynamic of the entire reason why everyone is gathered together. Maybe they forget why they gather together. It happens everywhere. And I'm not just saying just in families. I'm saying anywhere. I'm saying on your job. I'm saying in any circumstance, situation. Sometimes, you know, it started out good and then all of a sudden it just fall to pieces. So let's you know, if you're in a situation or you know a situation like that, before there is a gathering, before there's a coming together, whether it could be family, whether it could be a family gathering, or could be a job function, or it could be someplace, you know, pray. Have a word of prayer before. Even if it's a meeting, if you're deciding to meet with somebody, talk with somebody, you know, before you have that conversation, before you know that this might be a touchy situation, a touchy conversation, you know, take a little time before you get involved with that conversation. You know, it maybe you'll be with that person, or maybe you might want to say a prayer before you start that conversation sometimes. But it all depends, you know, it all depends. And listen to this. I'm gonna give you a little bit of wisdom on this. Listen, anybody that wants peace, they already have that in their heart. That's what their intention is. There is no side motivation. There is no, I'm going to see what they're going to say. I'm going to go into this with an intended motive for something. If you see things that are wrong, other words, if your heart is bent toward, I want to see something wrong, then that's all you're going to see, you know? Other words, there's people out there that their vision or their intent or their motive or their mindset is already bent toward, I'm going to wait and see what this person going to do. Maybe they already have the intention. And if your vision is always toward negativity, that's all you're going to be able to see. You're never going to see it in the positive. So this is very important for us to think about. So I'm gonna end this with the devotional. I want you guys to pay attention to this. It's like I said, the basis of this devotional is found in Matthew chapter 17, verse 27. And this is just a part of what Jesus was talking about when he was with his disciples. And in the major part of it, like I want to say, is pretty much is when they were talking about the taxes, and when Jesus was asking Peter about when they was in Capernaum, and then the collectors was questioning Peter about the temple tax, and they asked them, doesn't your teacher pay for the temple tax? And then of course Peter said, yes, they do. Yes, he does. So he went into the house. Jesus asked him, he says, what do you think about basically taxes? Do kings tax their own people, or do the people they have conquered? Okay. And so of course, you know, the answer is that the king hasn't conquered anybody. People are free. They're free citizens, right? And that's what Jesus replied to him. And so guess what he did? He told Peter, we're going to take care of the tax. We're going to do what is right. We're going to do what is the law of the land. How many of you understand? And I want to mention this real quick too. I know we're trying to close, but this came to my mind just now. How many of you understand that as Christians, okay, as Christians, as believers, we still have to abide by the laws and the rules of the land? Just because you're a born again believer, or you're a Christian, or you have been a Christian a long time, doesn't give you the quote unquote freedom to be able to break the law or say, well, the law doesn't apply to me. Okay. We have to understand that in this case, they're talking about taxes, right? So the taxes have to be paid. How many of us know that we're supposed to pay taxes, okay? And unfortunately, in our world today, there's people that either try to avoid paying taxes, they try to cheat on their taxes. Do you understand that God sees everything we do? Look, if you're trying to cheat on your taxes, right? Maybe nobody may see it, but God sees it. That's a part of integrity. That's a part of trying to of being more of a child of God, a representative of the kingdom of God. If you're a representative of the kingdom of God, those things we should not be doing. We should not be getting caught up in forging or doing things that are considered considered like not trustworthy, but not integrity wise. So we have to be an example, and they say that when someone is not looking, it's even when you are supposed to be doing what's right, not just when people are looking. When you're down there, you're making your bills, or you're doing your taxes, or you're doing things, you know, your accounts and stuff. You don't sit there and change the booking order of things, and just so that you can get a little extra. You know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. So you have to listen. God see everything. And sometimes some of us have to realize that in our lives, we're not blessed like we should be. You want God to bless you. You want God to show you favor, right? And if you're doing things that are not good and God sees it, and then you turn around and you're asking God to bless you, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. God sees all things, and it's nothing that you can hide from him. You may be trying to cheat on certain things, but God sees it all. So guess what? If you're doing things in secret, whether it's this in this situation or not, do what you're supposed to do. Jesus was about being fair, but he was also about obeying the law and whatever the rules and the law of the land was. The law is established for order. There's a reason why we have laws. So, unfortunately, we're living in a time in the world today that people break these laws. And guess what? Nobody, whether you are an officer of the law, or if you are a CEO, a boss, or you know, even your head of your family, you're not above the law. You're not above the law. Even as a Christian, even as a pastor, you're not above the law. You're not above that law. God established that law on purpose to create order. And so we have to do better. We have to do better. So I hope this is something. I mean, I don't know what, you know, I hope this is not for you, but just kind of, you know, just want to kind of, you know, mention that, because remember, you know, I think that this is why a lot of times we don't have the favor of God in our lives, because we're not operating integrity. We're not operating integrity in every area of our lives. And God will not and cannot, well, he will not bless you if you are not operating in integrity. So, you know, that's just the one thing that I do understand, is that you want the favor of the Lord. You want the blessings of God. You can't put the blessings of God on a life that is not full of integrity, and you're cheating and stealing. So listen to this. It says, our mandate is peace. Those who stir up conflict are fools. What was once primarily a category for movies and books has saturated our culture. Drama infiltrates our workplace, neighborhoods, schools, and families. There is little hope for peace. When gossip and prejudice run amok, individuals competing for esteem while taking sides and hurling insults are crushing human spirits. In the midst of the chaos, Jesus is our peace. His truth is what really matters. The last word doesn't belong to us, because it is not our responsibility to prove what is right. We can rely on him to fight our battles and defend our cause. And his promise is blessing and prosperity for those who place their trust in him. Generate peace in your world today. May we not cause others to stumble in their faith by creating an offense. May our defense be Jesus, and may our kindness and obedience lead to a life of favor. Listen, it's so important. It's so important for us to live a life of peace. It's so important to, you know, in a conflict, to allow Jesus, to allow God to be the person, the mediator, right? Let him be the mediator. Listen, if you know that a situation may cause a fight, then it's best not to do and get involved with it. Stop short, whether it's stop talking, whether it's stop discussing it, having that conversation. This is sorry that just put it on the table and let it stay there, because if it's going to cause a conflict, you know what? The result is that nothing gets resolved. Broken relationships happen all the time because of conflict and because of things that are being said. And I remember the last episode that we did is talking about that. Once something is said, you can't take it back. You cannot take it back. You cannot bring it back, because it's heard. It's already said in the atmosphere. Once you say something, a lot of times, even though you apologize about it, listen, it came out. It came out, and that person now is offended. That person now has heard what you had to say, you know? And on our world today, whether it be in politics, whether it be on the news or what have you, people are saying things and doing things that they should not do. And once you do it, or once you say it, you can't take it back. It has to be dealt with, you know? And so, again, I hope that this is a eye-opening lesson for some of you or somebody that you may know, and just pray for them. Don't just say, well, I want you to hear this. that's really, you know, in a way that's causing problems too. So just pray for them. That's what I would say. Pray for them. Pray for the person that you know that needs to understand how peace works. All right. We want the favor of the Lord, not just for us, but for others in their lives too. Okay. Amen. So listen, I appreciate all of you guys tuning in and listen and taking the time to listen, taking the time to come by and listen to this podcast. And so I really appreciate it. I appreciate all your support. You can find me on Apple Podcasts. You can find me on iHeartRadio, as well as anchor.com FM. And so, and also right here truly on Spotify. So I'm glad that you guys have tuned in and still hanging in there with me. Like I said, I've been kind of, you know, sporadic here and there. I've had, like some of you, have work and family as well, and took a little break and went on a nice vacation as well. So again, we'll be back at it. We'll continue with some more days moving ahead with the thing of favor, and we're going to continue to see all the things that God is going to bless us with going forward. All right, you guys have a wonderful day, wonderful week. I will be talking to you soon. God bless everybody.